little bouts of maybe short-term memory loss. Yeah, okay. Yeah, me too. How many of you here suffer from short-term memory loss? Oh, I asked that already. I'm sorry. You know, the Lord, it's amazing how quickly we can forget things. My wife and I go through this all the time. I can take a run out to the grocery store. She'll send me a text, please get 1, 2, 3 things. I go in, I come out with 2. Almost every single time. Don't realize it till I get home. But we just, you know, seem to be programmed nowadays to just take information in and, you know, move it out because new information's coming in. You know, you think about the news today. You know, today's headlines are going to be like yesterday's, you know, garbage. Like, an event can happen where, you know, it's so catastrophic or so impactful. And shortly thereafter, it's not news anymore. They're on to the next thing. You know, you think about, you know, we're coming up on the 2-year anniversary of Hurricane Sandy, okay? Don't hear about that so much in the news anymore. However, there's still people out there who are still without a home, who still have not been able to get back into their, you know, where they live. The tsunami we had in Japan, okay, not too long ago. Don't hear about that so much anymore. But there are still so much damage and so many people who are displaced, you know, as a result of it, but it's kind of off our radar screen. You know, there's still a nuclear reactor over there that's highly unstable, and you know, we're just over here going on with our lives. You know, even going back as far as Hurricane Katrina and the devastation that caused, there are still towns that are just still devastated and have not been able to rebuild. And it's every day we shift our focus onto something new. It's always the next thing. What's the next thing? And whatever's already passed, we kind of put out of our minds. It goes off of our radar. Any of you guys here have an iPhone 5? Raise hand. Anybody? Anybody waiting for the iPhone 6 to come out? As soon as that iPhone 6 comes out, right? That iPhone 5, gone. iPhone 6 is in your hand. You want to know what the iPhone 6 is going to look like? Look at your iPhone 5. Picture it costing $200 more. There's your iPhone 6. Well, today we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. If you could turn to Deuteronomy 8, and we're going to talk about a little bit about what it is to remember and how important it is to do so. If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand. Our ushers are coming around right now. They'll be happy to share one with you. And when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you would please stand just for the read. I'm going to go through verses 1 through 20. I'll try to read this as quickly as I can. What it says there in verse 1, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord for your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, and a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless your God, the Lord your God, for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built of beautiful houses and dwelt in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water? Who brought water for you out of the flinty rock? Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and he might test you to do you good in the end? Then say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day, that it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you will surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, here we have, this is Moses' farewell speech. This is known as the Upper Desert Discourse. He's addressing the generation of the children of Israel who are about to take possession of the land that was promised to them by the Lord God after they were freed from Egypt. You know, Deuteronomy is known as the second law, but if you really look at it, it's an update of the first law of Leviticus and an expansion of the original law. So here he's, we're going through the things that they need to follow, the things that they need to listen to, and the things they need to obey. Now you think about it, the Israelites wandered for 40 years. 40 years, okay? I'm 42, okay? Yeah, I'm 42. That's my lifetime, plus 2 years. I can't even imagine what that must have been like. 40 years is a long time. Okay, but here it is. Now, the goal was in sight. They were ready. They were ready to cross the finish line, finally. Why did it take 40 years? Well, it was their own fault. If you remember, they were supposed to possess the land earlier. They sent out spies. 10 of them came back saying, we can't take this land. The people that inhabit it, they're too big. We cannot do it. This is after they've seen so many miracles, so in God's hand, freeing them from Egypt, and yet they doubted. So as a result of their doubt, 40 years had to go by, an entire generation had to be, purged, basically. But here it is, they're getting ready to go in, and Moses is now giving them instructions on what to remember and what to do. Now look at it. Why were they in the wilderness? Well, we just went over. It was because of their disobedience. And the Lord wanted to do three things during this time. He wanted to humble them. Okay? They were to be humbled. They were also to be tested. And wanted to know what was in their heart. Now, God already knew their hearts. God knows the hearts of man. He wanted them to know what was in their own hearts. And that is something we all need to do. We always need to check our hearts, make sure we are in the right place, we are in the right place with the Lord, and we are not doing things out of selfishness, but we're doing things with a heart after God. So it says there in the beginning there, verses 1 and 2, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. Now, you say observe. You think observe, we're just going to look at it. We're just going to see it with our eyes. But it's going a little deeper than that. It's not just talking about seeing, the commandments which God lays out, but it's obeying them. It is following the instruction that he gives. I think about back when I first became a Christian, I was 17 years old. I was a science guy. I'm a science major. It's my thing, a little nerdy. Please don't make fun. But studied evolution as I was growing up and went to church from time to time and just started to realize, hey, these two things can't be, one's got to happen and one not the other. They can't both, happen. So what I do, my friend, took me to a youth retreat. I get saved, tells me, read my Bible. I don't have a Bible. I go out and get a Bible. What Bible do I get? I don't know. This one's got a cool cover. I'm going to grab that one. So I go ahead and I start reading my Bible. go through Genesis. Oh, cool, creation. Oh, look at all these stories. You know, the story of Noah. Oh, this is great. Oh, the story of Joseph, Abraham, all this great stuff. Then I get to, Leviticus. Anybody ever hit that stone wall? Yeah. A little tough to get through. Kind of lost a little momentum there and pushed through it. Moved on to the book of Joshua. All right, again, back to some action, back to some, you know, seeing how the Lord's working and how he's, you know, doing this. And there's battles and leaders and great things. And I did read through the whole Bible. And I'm thinking, hey, great. I did it. Old Testament to New Testament. Took me a while, you know. But nothing really stuck. It was really just reading through. I just kind of observed the entire Bible, but I didn't take it to heart. Didn't really know what to do, how to apply it, how to follow what God had for me. And, the Hebrew word here for observe is the word shamar, and it means to keep or to guard or to protect as something valuable. That is what we are to do with the Word of God. We are supposed to hold it dear to our hearts. We are supposed to, just value it and know it inside and out. You know, when you think about when you have something valuable, you know, you might own or you might possess. You know, maybe it's a nice work of art or a painting. You know, people who appreciate art and paintings, they know every brushstroke. They know every curve. They know every color and shape and everything in it because they value it. They just love it. You know, you think about Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon speaks of how, you know, where they process diamonds, you know, where they're making jewelry and they're shaping diamonds and everything. You know, even the very dust that falls on the floor, that diamond dust, is swept up and it's kept and is held because it is valuable. It is cherished. It is not lost. Every little speck is taken up. And that's what the very word of God is. Every word that is in this book is like those little specks of diamond dust. Everything is valuable. Every last word in here. And we need to make sure we look at it like that. And Moses is telling the Israelites, this is what you need to do. You need to observe the commandments. You need to follow them. You need to hold them dear to your heart. They're not just words on a page. They're actually something you need to take in and cherish. Joshua 1:8 reads, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success." We're to know it. We're to live it. We're to have it dear to our heart. Some of you who may be familiar with, if you're computer geeks, computer programming, one of the basic commands when you're doing a computer program, or even in a flow chart, you're doing it, is the if-then statement, okay? If this, then this. So if the computer program reads, you know, gets this input, okay, it's this, so I'm told I have to do this thing, okay? What Moses is telling them here, and just like it says in Joshua, it's saying, if this book of the law does not depart from your mouth, that's what we have to concentrate on first. We need to focus on this day and night, meditate on it day and night. If we do that, then it says right there, then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Okay? This generation of Israelites that are going into the promised land already watched the previous generation fall away from God and not follow him. And as a result, okay, because they didn't do the if, they didn't follow the commandments, they didn't follow God's ways, well, they didn't get the then. They didn't get the prosperous ways. They didn't get the good success. They got left out. Left out of possessing that promised land. So we're to know it. We're to know it, have it dear to our heart. And when we're supposed to, when we hear these commands, we're supposed to be in complete obedience, not just partial. Oh, I like that commandment. I can do that one. That one's easy. I can handle that one. This one I don't like so much, but I'm going to concentrate more on the ones over here. It says we are to do it in its entirety, completely follow. If we don't follow the instructions, we're not going to get the results that we want to get. I teach science classes at school, after school programs, and we do a lot of experiments with elementary school kids where we have them mix their own things. One of the biggest rules in the classes is follow the instructions. We always tell them, you know, we tell them the instructions first, give them their stuff, tell them the instructions again, and then we do the experiment. It doesn't always work that way. I've had classes where as I'm, you know, I give the instructions, we give everything out, as I'm starting to say something, boom, I hear something go off over here, and I hear an oops, and I look over, and there's something fizzing over, or something broken, and I'm like, well, you see, that's what happens when you don't follow directions. You need to follow directions. God has given us the directions. He's given us directions for life right here in this book, and we are to follow them. We are to hold them dear. What happens when we don't? Well, you look at some examples in the Bible. Let's go back to the way in the beginning, Adam and Eve. One rule, don't eat that fruit. Don't eat anything from that tree. One little snack, one little deception. Just change the course of history. You know, you look at King Saul, chosen to be the king. People wanted a king. God said, okay, here's your guy. I'm going to give you this king. Okay, Saul did not follow and give glory to God when he was supposed to. Had the kingdom torn away from him. King David, you know, greatest king, you know, one of the greatest kings that ever lived. He also disobeyed. Saw a pretty woman. Pursued her. And it just, from there on, it caused just nothing but calamity for his family and for him, you know, for the rest of his life. It's just the choices made. Lot's wife, we don't even know her name. You know, Mrs. Lot, I don't know. But Lot's wife, you know, she was told, listen, you're going to be saved. Or an angel tells her, you're going to be saved. All you have to do is flee the city. Don't look back. What's the one thing she did? Turned around with a longing, looking back at what she was leaving of that corrupt city. And because she had that longing, she disobeyed. She was gone. Pillar of salt. We all know the story of Jonah. Okay. You know, deliberately disobeyed God. God, you want me to go here? No, I'm going here. And you know, eventually he ended up going here anyway. So why not just listen to him the first time? You know, don't go the way, you know, we always say, don't go the way of Jonah. And even Moses himself, here he is, he's giving this speech, he's giving this to the Israelites, and he himself is not going to be able to go in and possess the promised land because he disobeyed the Lord. The Lord told him to speak to the rock and it would give water for the Israelites. He went and struck it. Simple directions, didn't follow. If then, he's not going to see the promised land. So we know we have to follow wholeheartedly everything that the Lord puts out before us. One of the other things he did is, you know, during that time, the 40 years in the desert, he didn't leave the Israelites on their own. He led them. He led them the entire way. Pillar of cloud during the day, pillar of fire at night. Never left them. The Lord never leaves or forsakes us. There are times when we may feel that he does, but I guarantee you, I can say with you wholeheartedly that he never leaves us. Isaiah 58:11 says that the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. He never leaves us alone. However, the enemy will always tell us otherwise. There's actually a song for those of you who you know, listen to Christian music. Is one of my favorite bands is Need to Breathe. And they have a song you know, called The Devil's Been Talking, and it talks about how the enemy tries to lure us away. And you know, one of the lines in there, you know, it says that we cannot change. We are who we are, and that we are all alone. That is a lie that he tries to get us to follow and that so many people fall into. But I tell you today, God is always with us. He is never going to leave us. And he's there. And he just wants us to follow what where he's directing us. But we don't always hear him. We have so many distractions in this life. And we need to hear that still small voice. How many of you have ever been challenged or you know, just always seek to hear that small voice, but, you know, how many times have we not been able to hear it? It's there. We just need to settle our hearts. We need to come to God solely and get all the distractions out of our way. Our phones, our TVs, our emails, our everything is, there's so much stuff out there that is trying to distract us from what God wants us to hear. We need to come before Him, seek Him, and hear what He has for us. One of the other reasons they were in the desert was to be humbled. Anybody here been humbled before? You could be humbled in big ways, you could be humbled in little ways. It is amazing. But the thing is, God brought them to a place in their lives where they could not rely on themselves. They had to trust in Him for food, for water, for protection. They could not do this on their own. If they went out into this endeavor for 40 years by themselves, I don't think there would be the children of Israel left anymore. God was with them the whole time. He brought them to a place where the only thing they could do was rely completely on the Lord. They couldn't give themselves any credit. They had to look to Him and depend upon Him. You know, I look at all these, missionaries that we've sent out, or we're in partnership with, Pastor Brian McDaniel in Haiti. You know, if you've ever met him, you would think, this guy is a missionary? He is wild, he is off the wall, and let me tell you what, this guy is on fire for God. They sent him down to Haiti to start up something. And the way the Lord has provided over the years, continually, like just nonstop, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And he'll stop in the middle of everything and just pray. Next thing you know, that prayer gets answered. It is amazing the way that it's been things have been supplied down there and how successful that ministry has been. Our own Courtney Deacon here, who has gone over to India. She was working with GFA for a while. The Lord led her away from that. And she is, you know, as she's following the Lord and the Lord is directing her, she has opened, you know, One Life to Love. This is a place for, disabled children who are abandoned to come where they can be loved and they can learn that God loves them and that they have a worth. It is just amazing how the Lord has always provided for this. And, you know, I think of times when I was humbled. I'm over the peacemaker type of guy, you know, so if there's a conflict, I like to try to find a solution for it. Believe it or not, my wife and I occasionally have disagreements. It does happen. But one time, I remember one time years ago, I don't remember what it was over, fight was over. Since I'm saying I don't remember, it was probably my fault. But we disagreed and I got mad and I went down in my basement and she stayed upstairs and we were refinishing the basement at the time. So I'm like grabbing hammers, bang, bang. I'm like, bah, 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 you know, trying to take out all my frustration and everything. I finally got to the point, I was like, I gotta go fix this. I gotta go up and make peace. And then, you know, and I start to go upstairs and it was like the Lord physically like said, no, you're staying down here. I'm like, fine, all right, so I'll go back, bang some more things and try to put things together. And I'm like, no, I have to do this. I said, you know, I'm thinking in my head, blessed are the peacemakers. That's what I'm gonna be. I'm gonna go be blessed. I'm gonna go up there. So I try to go up again, and it was just like, you hear that? It was a voice saying like, you know, no, don't go up. A little time goes by, my wife comes down. We talk it out, we make up, you know, and everything's good. And later on, I'm telling her about this. I was like, I wanted to come up, and I just wanted to apologize or to make it right. And you know, I felt something holding me back. And she's like, well, that's funny because I was up there and God was telling me to come down and see you and get together and work things out and make it work. So God was working on both of us at the same time. And it was a very humbling thing, but it's not always done the way we plan it. And, you know, so it's just amazing, you know, how the Lord works, how we can resolve situations like that. And, you know, you think about it, you know, the Lord is going to bring us to places where we're humble. If we're too prideful, listen, you know, pride goes before the fall. You know, He's going to bring us to a humble place. And during that time, that is when we are the most teachable. That is when we are coachable. That is when we are moldable. We're not so rigid. We get to the point where we're like, okay, God, I could, whatever you want, just, you know, show me what you want me to do. And it's hard to be content in those situations. But that is what he's asking us to be. We're being refined. You know, they were also tested. Okay, testing, you either pass or you fail. Okay, God was testing them through this time in these 40 years. Okay, he was testing their hearts. He wanted to see their hearts. Had they really changed? Did they really deserve this liberation from bondage and to receive the blessing of this promised land? Where were their hearts? The thing is, I ask you today, do you know what's in your own heart? You know, that's something we need to examine on a daily basis. Where is our heart? Is our heart with our own desires, or is it with the desires of the Lord? Psalm 44:21 says that for he knows the secrets of the heart, meaning the Lord. He knows our hearts. Acts 15:8 reads, you know, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did us. God knows our hearts. Do we know our hearts? That's what we need to ask ourselves. You know, you look at the progression of how, you know, the Israelites went through their ordeal. They were freed. They were freed from Egypt. Egypt, the most powerful, you know, the kingdom, you know, on the earth at the time, they were slaves. The only way they were getting out was through God's intervention. And he did that. They saw all the miracles. They saw the 10 plagues of Egypt. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the destruction of the Egyptian army when the Red Sea, you know, swallowed them up. And what did they do? They whined. They complained. And that's sometimes what we do. That's what, you know, so they started saying, oh, you know, we were out here in the desert. It was better we would be back in Egypt. It's like, well, don't you guys remember what you just came from? Remember, that's what he's saying. Remember what the previous generation went through. Don't make the same mistakes. Remember that. You know, they were provided manna. Then they got complained about that. Oh, we don't even know what this is, but, you know, we're going to eat it. Now we want something different. Give us meat. Give us, you know, so God gave them quail. They hoarded all the quail. They ate it, everything like that. Then they complained more. When are we satisfied? We need to be, whatever humble situation the Lord puts us in, we need to be satisfied in that situation. But it's amazing how throughout the Bible you see people with short-term memories. You know, we look at our own hearts and we think we can do things upon, you know, just on our own strength and our own will. And we could only get so far with what we can do on our own. But no matter where we leave off, if we are following God's commandments, if we are doing as he instructs, he will get us the rest of the way, every single time, if we have that trust in him, if we have that faith in him. Whenever our strength fails, God is going to take us that rest of the way. You think about Jesus, you know, before he died on the cross, that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here he was, a man, feeling what we would feel. Fear, sorrow, pain, like just going through all these things. And even Jesus, you know, in that form, trusted in the Father the whole way. He did not give up. His heart was aligned with the will of God, with the will of the Father. Though he asked for that cup to pass from him, he said, your will be done, Lord, not my own. And sometimes that is the hardest thing for us to say in our lives, because we know what our will is. And sometimes we try to force that will in our prayers, but we really need to pray, your will be done. I will follow you. I trust in you. I know you have a plan. I know yours is better than what I have. Whatever I can think up, your plan is going to be better. Okay? But, you know, the Lord knows what we're going through. And during that time, you know, you think about it. It says the children of Israel were being chastened. Anybody here like to be chastened? Nobody likes to be chastened. All right? But the reason he was chasing them, the reason he was correcting them, was not because he was bored. It was not because he didn't like them. It was the exact opposite. It was because he loved them. And that was another thing Moses was trying to help them to remember. Throughout all this, the Lord loves you. He is going to be with you all the time. Hebrews 12:5 tells us, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you which speaks to you as to sons, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So Moses is just reiterating, you know, make sure, you know, you've learned your lesson, okay? As parents, you know, parents out there, one of the hardest things, at least it should be one of the hardest things, is chastening your children. Whether it is, you know, a timeout, whether it's a spanking, whether it's not letting them have ice cream. Believe me, it hurts. It hurts. But as long as you're doing that out of love and correction and guiding them on the right path, which is what Moses was doing here, and you're in the will of God, that is going to bear good fruit. You know, it says, you know, a good saying, saying I always use anyway, is that a smart man learns from his mistakes, but a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. So here, as Moses is prepping the new generation to go into the promised land, he's saying, remember what happened before. Don't forget. Don't make those same mistakes. You know, you can go and touch an oven and get burnt. Am I going to go touch that same oven so I can learn a lesson myself? No, I'm going to learn from what I saw you do. We need to remember, you know, and our own mistakes from the past so that we don't make those same mistakes again. Okay. Now, these things don't always happen on our timetable. The children of Israel wanted to go right from Egypt, right into the promised land. And as we know, that did not happen. But we know that things happen in God's time, not our own time. I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. I don't know if any of you guys like that. My wife and I tend to watch those movies, you know, from start to finish, every now and then. Not in one sitting, of course. We do it over a series of nights. But one of the lines in the very first one in the Fellowship of the Ring, you know, Gandalf the Wizard is arriving, and Frodo's coming to meet him, and the first thing he says to Gandalf is, "You're late." And I love Gandalf's response. He says, "I am never early or late. I arrive precisely when I intend to." That is God. God has a plan of when he's going to do what he's going to do. Not always on our timetable, but he always, always arrives. Never lets us down. But let's get back to the people who are wandering in Egypt. Here it is, 40 years, and now Moses is giving them the good news. He's saying, don't forget, follow the commandments, don't make the same mistakes, remember God. And now he gives them the good news. He tells them, they're going into the land. You're going to have a land, you heard the description, there's going to be wheat and barley and olive oil and honey, you know, it is just going to be a land of abundance, a land of plenty. And they are just going to rejoice, and, you know, this is all a gift from God. The end is in sight. They're there. Don't forget what happened before. Here's what's on your plate. But don't forget what happened before. Okay? And he reminds them again, do not let the word of God depart from your mouth. Okay? Do everything that it commands. Okay? What's the opposite of remember? You can actually respond, because I'm used to teaching kids and they talk the entire time I'm teaching. Okay? The opposite, what is the opposite of remember? Okay, all right. God is now telling them, through Moses, the consequences if they do forget. Okay, remember that if then, okay? If you keep the word of God, you will be prosperous, okay? However, if you do not, there's another if then. If you do not keep the word of God, you are going to perish. You're going to be destroyed. He is spelling it out for them. It's like, okay, you guys want to go here? Follow God and live. Forget about God. Don't give him the glory, and you will perish. What would you choose? Well, it's an easy choice, you know? Follow God and live. It's not always a choice we make in things we face every day. So I ask you today, what do you choose? Do you choose to follow God? Or do you choose to try to do it your own way? Be like Jonah, learn the hard lesson, and end up doing what God wants you to do anyway. I encourage you to follow him. But, you know, we always wait. And unfortunately, we are not people who liked or were very patient. We don't have the patience of the Lord. But I will read you this. you know, we're all going through trials. Raise your hand here if you are not going through a trial of some sort right now, okay? I will refer you to commandment number 9, which is don't bear false witness, okay? Everybody's going through a trial of some sort. It may be big, it may be a job, it may be a relationship, it may be an illness, it may be, who knows? It could be so many different things. But I encourage you to seek the Lord, to remember how he was there for the children of Israel during this time, how he provided for them, how he always led them no matter what they were going through, okay? You know, you might say, oh, Josh, you know, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the horrible thing I'm going through. Oh, I feel like Job in the Bible. Oh, let me tell you what. I've said that to myself before. And then I go back and read Job. And I realize, no, that is not the case. I am in much better shape than Job was. So, you know, if you're ever down and distressed, read Job, believe it or not. It'll actually put things in perspective for whatever you're going through. But Psalm 46:10 reads, be still and know that I am God. And that's what the Israelites were supposed to do through these 40 years. They were supposed to just be still, let God do his work, trust in him. No matter what they're going to face, he is going to be with them and get them through it. And someone actually posted this on Facebook. I do read occasionally. But it said this, along with Psalm 46. It said, be still, for in the stillness you have all the answers you need. Maybe not the ones you want, but let go of yesterday and 5 minutes ago and your massive never-ending to-do list and the guilt and the failure and the need to please and the perfection and the worry and the thought that you aren't good enough and let go of the future, because the future isn't reality yet. Only right now is. Just be here, because God is using this moment to teach you something. Love what is right in front of you. Take a deep breath and trust that everything is going to be more than perfectly fine. Why? Because you are not in control, but God is. Be still and listen. I think back and remember so many times, you know, that God was just doing an incredible work in my life, and I don't realize it then. You don't realize it when it happens, you know, but then you look back when you know, God will remind you, and that's what he's saying, remember, you know, when God has been with you. You know, I think of, you know, how my wife and I even got together. You know, that was an amazing side. I don't have time for that now. I'm not going to bore you. How even our family was led to come here to Cornerstone Calvary Chapel. Again, another story I'm not going to share with you right now because I'm not going to keep you here all night. Feel free to ask me another time. You know, I think of a time when my mother and father-in-law, all the kids got together and they purchased a cruise for them, a vacation for them. And of course, it was in the middle of winter. We got a crazy snowstorm. The roads were closed. The state was shut down. We were in a state of emergency. And we were determined, okay, my wife is a determined woman, I love her, okay? We were determined to get them to the airport, okay? We drove, I forget how many hours it took us to get up to Newark, but we were following snow plows because you couldn't even see the roads. We get up there, every flight is canceled. We're rushing to get in there, we're like, oh, can we make it? And they're saying all the flights are canceled. We're panicking, and I remember my mother-in-law. You know, I love her so much. She was just like, oh, I can't believe this, and she was just so distressed and so distraught. And my wife turned to her and said the very words of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Long story short, the only plane to leave the airport that day was theirs. They were able to get out, and it was a crazy thing. But I look back on it now, and I was like, "Wow, God was with us on the trip up. He was with us, you know, with them, getting them on the plane and getting them to their destination." Little things like that. We need to look back. We need to remember when God was present in our lives. So, just to wrap things up, we're going to be doing communion tonight. But just to kind of wrap up here, just as Moses, you know, urged the Israelites to remember, we need to do the same. We need to always remember who God is, who Jesus is, what he has done for us. We look throughout the Bible. We can see this is fact. This is real. This is truth right here. And you look at the miracles and the way that the Lord worked in people's lives over the years. We need to remember that. Think about a trial you might be facing right now, however big or small. And I want you to try to remember one time, not every time God's been there, but just remember one time. And just help, you know, remember, he is always there for you, okay? We go through a lot of trials, we all do, and we have a choice. We can bear down. We can white-knuckle our way through it. We can be like, all right, God, give it. God, I'm ready. I'm ready to ride through it. And we come out, and we go through our whole trial like that, rigid and not moldable, not teachable. We're no better on the other end. We fail that test. Guess what? Retest. You get to probably go through that whole thing all over again. Or are we humbled? Are we softened? Are we coachable to receive what the Lord is going to wants to teach us, how he wants us to grow, how he wants us to refine us? So I just encourage you all to put all those distractions aside in your daily life and remember God. Remember what he did. Remember what he did for the Israelites. Remember how he always delivers on his promises. Always remember that. Just going to close here with, this was actually today's devotion in, if you read Jesus Calling, today's devotion reads this. It says, stop worrying long enough to hear my voice. I speak softly to you in the depths of your being. Your mind shuttles back and forth, hither and yon, weaving webs of anxious confusion. As my thoughts rise up within you, they become entangled in those sticky webs of worry. Thus my voice is muffled, and you hear only white noise. Ask my spirit to quiet your mind so that you can think my thoughts. This ability is an awesome benefit of being my child, patterned after my own image. Do not be deafened by the noise of the world or that of your own thinking. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sit quietly in my presence, letting my thoughts reprogram your thinking. Jeremiah 29:11 reads, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The Lord always remembers us. Let us remember him and his love for us with every breath that we take. Amen. Amen. Well, speaking of remembering, we are going to receive communion.